We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
So very glad you're all here tonight, and appreciate your faithfulness to our Wednesday night service. It is it's a blessing for me tonight. Of course, you know it is Pastor Micah's birthday. He's 39. Did you guys know that? And he wore a special purple blouse in honor. He said it was plum, and then we said it's plum awesome. And so, I so much appreciate Pastor Micah. He's been with me for 9 years now. And can we just thank him for the great job he's doing here? He and I actually, he and I are leaving together on Monday. We're actually going to Chicago for the Moody Pastors Conference, and we'll be together Monday through Friday. So if you'd remember me in prayer, I'd really appreciate that. You know, tonight there is a special guest here, and that has already been mentioned, and that is Pastor Micah's mom and dad. And his mom's right over here. And so you have raised a magnificent man of God. I want you to know that. I know it was Mother's Day, but you are to be commended for the job, the time, the effort, the love that you put into this man. Amen, church? And so thank you for being a great example. And of course, Pastor Warren is here in many, many years in ministry, and we are receiving the benefit of your hard labor and teaching, and appreciate your faithfulness so much. I know you're not a stranger to our church. Some of you were here a few years ago on Father's Day when he was on the platform with my dad, Pastor Chad's dad. And you guys remember that when he was here and told those funny stories about Micah? Well, we're taking donations tonight. And so I appreciate so much, first of all, not just him, but his love for the Lord, your love for the Word of God. And I want to say this in a day and age where it seems like preachers are falling by the wayside left and right. Pastor Warren, I want to publicly thank you for sticking by the stuff and for staying faithful and for being an example, not just to this man over here, but to me. And my dad's here tonight, and you guys are, and I mean this with the greatest of respect, it's not a negative connotation, you guys are old war horses of the faith, and you've blazed a trail, and you've been faithful. And I pray that one day the role will be reversed. And we'll be sitting somewhere, and someone will let us get behind a pulpit once again and preach. And so I wanted to commend you and thank you, and I'm excited to hear what it is God's given you to speak on tonight. So would you make him welcome as he comes this evening?
Thank you, preacher, for inviting us. One of those things that the Lord just worked together, and we were coming for Ethan's graduation, and Micah said, it's my birthday, and your preacher said, will you preach? And this is the first time we've been with Micah on his birthday since high school. And we really don't know how to act, and he doesn't either. I will tell you one bad story about Micah. My wife would make cakes, and every time there was a cake baked, little finger would just run across it. Micah had big hands. So we said, it's the third boy. And man, we just gave it to him. So one day, my wife walked into the kitchen, and Mike was taking his little finger, and he was walking back and forth across the cake. And she said, why are you doing that? He said, so you'll think he did it. So be aware, Pastor Todd. I want you tonight to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Here's a wonderful story of a great answer to prayer. And I hope by the end of tonight that your heart will be stirred, that you will qualify yourself to have great answers to prayer. Many times churches call me and say, will you help us find a pastor? And I said, well, the first thing you have to do is you have to qualify to get the best man. Don't waste your time praying that God would send you a good man. You qualify, and God will give you a good man. Say the same thing to unmarried men and women. You want a husband, you want a wife, then you qualify that God will give you the best. And I hope that by the end of the night that you'll decide, and usually an auditorium this size, there might be 10 or 12 or 15 of you, that you'll do purpose, that you're going to qualify to get supernatural answers to prayer. Let's look at these 12 verses. We'll come back and reference them. Chapter number 1 of the second book of Chronicles. The Bible said, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him, magnified him exceedingly. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, and to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjathjearim," aren't you glad you have normal names, "to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen serpent, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brass altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night," this is our key phrase, "in that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." Now, I wonder how many of you will be honest with me tonight and say you've prayed this prayer and ain't nothing happened. How many of you believe God knows everything and you said, "God, give me wisdom," and you did what I did? Where's the money? Now, in all honesty, if you have prayed this prayer and you didn't get an answer to prayer, I'm going to show you why tonight. Verse number 7 begins with this simple phrase, "in that night." Very important part. "In that night." And what a night it was. Young Solomon has been given a blank check by God Almighty. What would you do with a blank check from God? He doesn't ask for riches, doesn't ask for the life of his enemies. He doesn't ask for fame. He doesn't ask for honor. He said, "I just want one thing. I want to be able to rule these people, and I need wisdom." And God says, "I'm going to give it to you." So he comes and he gives him this, and probably more than what he ever contemplated God was going to do in terms of wisdom and intellect in that night. And what a glorious night it was for Solomon. Do you know that he was the author of 3,000 Proverbs? He was the author of over 1,000 songs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 9 tells us that he had the ability to communicate to everybody what he'd learned. You ever had a teacher that was so smart they couldn't teach you anything? Had an accounting teacher like that one time, and he was so frustrated with us that it was not that simple to us. He didn't have the ability to communicate what he knew. You probably know preachers like that. I mean, they know it. That's in their mind, but they can't give it to you. But this intangible talent God gave Solomon, to where he not only knew what he was talking about, he could tell you in such a way you would understand it. What a night. What a night. Imagine that you want something from God and God's willing to give it to you. Maybe you've asked him for such things and it just hasn't transpired. Let's talk a little bit about background to start off with. Now, did you notice as we read the story that Solomon offered burnt offerings? Burnt offerings. Now, if you're a little bit of an Old Testament student, you know that a lot of the burnt offerings are delineated and talked about in Leviticus, but that's not where they start. They start in Genesis. And we have the case of Abraham. We have the case of Isaac being offered up. And one of the reasons for people leaving out of Egypt was that they could go sacrifice and have these burnt offerings. Moses' father-in-law offers up a burnt offering to God in Exodus. The Israelites offer up all these burnt offerings in conjunction with meeting with God and receiving his covenants. Now, here's the very simplified reason for why there was a burnt offering. There was a need for surrender and submission. That's what it was all about. Surrender and submission. The attitude, the foundation of the offering that Solomon has here is what is his declaration of what we call absolute surrender. Despite being the king, he said, you know what I need? I need God's wisdom in my life. Oh, God, help us from reach the point where we don't think we need to hear from God anymore. How we need to have this utter helplessness when we meet with God about answers to prayer. Oh, I would encourage you as you pray about things just to say to God, Lord, I just need your help. And say it sincerely and sweetly. Lord, I just need your help. You'd be surprised as you surrender and you submit to God about these things, how God will move heaven and earth just to answer your prayer. Now, my friend, it's not enough that you sing, I surrender all. You've got to have the mindset that you will surrender all. I went to Bible college, and at the end of Bible college, as you graduate, everybody comes up to you and says, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to serve? And I remember one guy I was in college with, he said, I told the Lord I'd go anywhere he wants me to go, as long as it's Texas. So we need to change the song for you. This is I Surrender Some. Take my life and let me be? No, you want to put yourself in a place to where God and you can get business done. You're going to have to learn how to submit and surrender to Him. Now, let's just think about this burnt offering for a minute. Solomon has invited all of Israel. Listen to the list again. The heads of state, the chiefs of staff, the judges, every governor, and the chief of the fathers. Now look, I have a missions conference, and I've got four missionaries coming, and that means I've got to feed them, I've got to put them up somewhere, I've got to make sure we have transportation. It gets kind of a logistical nightmare. Can you imagine thousands are coming? Look, you just don't do this on some impulse that you got this emotional feeling at the end of a service. You came and fell on your face and said, okay, God, tomorrow we're going to do it. No, sometimes it takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work and effort. Did you notice how many offerings, burnt offerings he had? Anybody? It's 1,000. 1,000. I talked to a friend of mine that sells and buys horses and cattle all the time. He told me a premium bull goes for between $2,000 and $4,000. Now, if you want to do the math, or if you're kind of stymied a little bit, we're talking about $2 million to $4 million just for the burnt offering. Oh, I want that great answer to prayer that God gave Solomon. You're not willing to work and make sure all these people are cared for and all the logistics behind that is done? You see, if you want the blessings of that night, you've got to have the effort of that day. If you want the blessings of that night, you have got to have the expense of that day. Now, we talked about all these people that are coming. You got food for them. Got accommodations. Somebody's got to pay for all this. That night must cost you something. God is just not 911. You call and get what you want. He's not some genie that you rub the bottle. Now he comes and you get your wish of your desires of your heart. No, he's expecting something on your part, an investment. And here, Solomon makes this effort to put all this together. And he spends the money. Now, David was a rich man, his father, and he got a lot of the kingdom himself. But the implication here is that this isn't state money. This is Solomon's money. How much are you willing to get an answer from God? How much are you willing to spend? How much are you willing to offer? Well, it's easy to pray and ask for the pastor's money. It's easy to pray and ask for the deacon's effort. But how much are you willing to invest? How much time? If you want that night, it's going to cost you something. Oh, we want to have the testimony of Moses falling on his face and delivering the nation of Israel from God's wrath. But we don't want 40 days and nights of prayer and fasting. Well, if you want that night, you've got to have that day. That night was available and was there because of that day. Here's a very simple truth, and you read all through the Bible. If you want what's at the end, you've got to start at the beginning. We can't just open a page and say, that's what I want. We need to go back and look at what's going on. And here's this burnt offering. This is a day of sacrifice. This is a day of financial expense. This is a day of energy and effort and commitment and devotion and surrender. Because you see, in that night, his devotion afforded him the opportunity to ask for this simple thing of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I know this will not come across just right to you, but you know, if you're not devoted, you can be sure you're going to limit your opportunities of what God's going to give you. How many have ever thought this? Man, if somebody give me $1 million, I'd give this much to the church. Now, I have one word for you, liar. I said, preacher, how do you know that? Because if you would do it, God would have already given it to you, and you would have already given it. Oh, now it's getting on home time, huh? You see, we're not willing to pay the sacrifice. We're not willing to have the cost. We just want the answer to the prayer. If you're not devoted to this, committed to this, you can be sure that you'll be short of the blessings of God when you could have had greater. Now, because this man has surrendered, he spent all this money, he has all this effort, and again, this isn't a decision he makes on Monday and Tuesday, all this falls together. This is something that's taken months to plan. Because he has surrendered, he's allowed to have the right choice. See, a lot of times we tell God, you show me what you want to do, and I'll decide if I'm going to surrender. God says, you surrender, I'll show you what you can do. How foolish of us to ask God for wisdom, expecting great riches, when we have no devotion, no surrender, no submission, no commitment. We want to skip the preparation of that day and go directly to the blessings of that night. Now, as a pastor of over 30 years, may I say to you very kindly, it ain't going to happen. Just think about how we think. We want the advantage and finances of a college education, but we don't want to finish high school. We want a baby, but we don't want a pregnancy. We want to skip the sacrifice of that day, and we don't want to be transported directly to the blessings of that night. We seek to have a Christian home, but we won't pay the daily cost of walking in the light ourselves. And by the way, parents, you're wrong to expect your kids to live a Christian life if you're not showing them the example. I'll go further. Don't waste your time requiring your children to serve God. Inspire your children to serve God. Paul said, follow me It literally means ape me. It means do just what I do. Imitate what I'm doing. We want that wonderful kid that never gets in trouble with the law, never gets drunk, never does the drugs, but we don't have time to sit down and read the Bible to him. Take him out somewhere and show how to win somebody to Christ. Teach him to have answers to prayer. Teach him the character of sitting down and reading their Bible. Teach him how they can claim the promises of God. My friend, you want the blessings of that night, but it's not happening if you're not willing to pay the cost of that day. That night just does not come if you don't have that day. I'm amazed how many people want a soul-winning church, but they won't go win somebody to Christ themselves. I'm amazed, as I've dealt with various churches, how they want the standard of the preacher, want his kids to be perfect, want his household to be perfect. And don't get me wrong, there's requirements for a pastor to have, but I've told my churches over the years, don't ever call my kid down and say, you're the preacher's kid, you shouldn't be do that. I said, you call them down because what they're doing is wrong. I said, because that's how I'm going to address your child. I'm going to tell your child this is wrong. There's not some double standard just because we're the preacher. Our kids want just what your kids want. Our kids are going to misbehave just like your kids misbehave. They have to be corrected just like you were corrected and I was corrected. We look at what's in our society today and you say to yourself, kids are unruly. They don't have any honor. They don't give respect. Well, let me tell you why that is. We want that night, but we're not willing to invest that day. We want the blessings of a strong church without ever paying the cost of a commitment to a church. Let me tell you something. Pastors translate what you say to them all the time. Here comes somebody and they say, Pastor, we need to start this new ministry. Translate it, you start it, I might show up. What's wrong with you, Pastor? We ought to have a dozen ministries. Just don't ask me to lead it. Had a fellow come to me and he said, Pastor, the men need to get together one night a month, a Saturday. Now we need to pray till God's power comes. Amen. So I set the time and date. We prayed for 2 years. I don't think that guy showed up one time. You see, he wants the strong church. He wants that night, but he's not willing to make the investment of that day. You want your kid to know Bible stories, but you don't have the character to bring them to Sunday school? We have nothing in the bank of commitment, have nothing in the bank of devotion, and we expect to withdraw this dividend of blessings, and we are so foolish. The blessings of that night are preceded by the investments of that day. You know what we want? We want the prestige of Moses without having to spend 40 years in the desert. We want that testimony of Elijah calling down fire from Mount Carmel, but we don't want to go live by the brook and have the ravens feed us. We don't want to swallow our pride and go to the widow at Zarephath and say, God sent me, you'll take care of me, right? Can you imagine the faith that Elijah developed every day, twice a day? The ravens come to feed him. Now, he doesn't have a watch. He doesn't have some timer on the thing. But can you imagine he can look around and he says, you know, it's about time for the ravens to come. Can you imagine? And we don't know how long he was at the brook. We know that there's 3.5 years that there's no drought, and so there's some time at the brook. There's some time with the widow woman. But can you imagine, let's just say for a year and a half, these ravens come and feed him. Can you imagine as the widow scoops out the meal and the oil, that it just never goes away. She takes out a spoon, it fills itself back up. Is it any wonder he can't stand on Mount Carmel and pray the 63-word prayer and fire falls from heaven? Oh, that's what we want. Yeah, but you don't want to spend 3.5 years by yourself. See how foolish we are? You're not going to get to that night without that day, without that investment, without that cost, without that effort. No, Solomon, he's not ashamed to say, okay, I'm the king, but you know what I need? I need God. I need God to work. I need God's wisdom. So what is it you want? You have some wayward child you'd like to see him restored? I've had parents come to me, swollen eyes and face all red, tear stained, and they say, preacher, would you pray for my child? Sure. How long are you going to pray? I had a preacher friend of mine, at the end of every service on a Sunday night, had a woman come up to him and say, would you please pray for my husband, Bill? He's not saved, you know. And we'd walk out. Almost 2 years of it. It was her little speech. And he could go, would you pray for my husband, Bill? You know how it is. So one night he grabbed her hand and he said, lady, while I'm here on my face, weeping, praying for your husband, what are you going to be doing? Well, she stormed out. But about midnight, the Holy Spirit said, well, what are you going to do? And she went in the bathroom, closed the door, heart broke. She started weeping. Husband said, what's the matter? And she's, All night long, he hears her weeping. And he figures out it's all about his salvation. He finally says, look, if you'll come out of there, I'll get saved. And he got saved and got in church and worked and did great works for God. Here's my point, though. She wanted to have that blessing of that night. She wanted a saved husband. But she didn't want to spend the night in prayer. I've seen parents come in just distraught, wringing their hands, haven't slept for weeks, they say. Well, you're not going to sleep for a week. Why don't you just pray about this thing? Make an investment. No, that's too much investment. There was this girl I was working with, and her husband was just a cad. He was a drunk. He was a drug addict. He was running around on his wife. And she said to me, she says, would you pray my husband get saved? I said, sure. Now, I don't mean any disrespect by this, but she was a black lady. And if you've ever been in a black church, man, they have 400 verses of a song. Preacher prays for 30 minutes before he preaches. I mean, no service, the morning service can go 2.5-3 hours. Boy, she came to me and she said, my husband got saved. I said, amen. She said, oh, no, it's not an amen. What do you mean it's not an amen? You want to see him get saved? She said, I want him to get saved. She said, but now we have to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday afternoon prayer. She said, I want him to get saved, but I didn't want him to get saved like that. Are you willing to pay the price as you pray for these missionaries that your child become one? Now it got quiet. As long as we're laughing at somebody else, it's all right. But look, you know, here we are praying and asking God to do things, but we're not willing to give him the investment of our children. Oh, we want that night, but we don't want to have the expense and the cost of that day. Now look, whether it's a lost loved one, whether it's a spouse that won't get right with God, whether it's a child that won't get saved and won't get straightened out, whether it's a financial crisis you're going through, there's a God in heaven that's capable of doing things you can't even think of. But he's waiting for you to do your part most of the time. What is it that's on your heart that you'd like to see God do? fill this place up twice over, reach this city for Christ, double your influence on the mission field, have so much money coming in your preacher doesn't know what to do with it. What is it? If you really want it, you're going to be willing to come back and start spending the cost. It may be financial. Preacher said, let's give a better grace offering. More grace giving. You say, amen, not me. Or do you say to yourself, you know, I've been throwing $50 a month away at the gym and I don't ever go. I might as well just write the check to the church. Thank you for the one amen. Maybe you've got this super-duper premium channel cable television that's running crazy and you're watching five channels out of 250. Why don't you cut it in half and give the church the other half? Well, wait a minute. Preacher, you're getting where I'm living. And see, that's why you've got the answer to prayer that you wished you had that ain't there. Solomon has no pretense. Takes money out of his own pocket, probably close to $4 million just for the burnt offering. Puts together this tremendous conference. Looks out after everybody. Goes before God, and he gets this wisdom that's never been duplicated. But he paid a price. And so I say to you tonight, if you want that night, you're going to have to pay the price of that day. So as I said at the outset, number of people here tonight, if we could get just a dozen people who would say, I will pay the price. You'll see a ministry here that nobody can explain. So would you be one of those 12? All right, Tori was part of a great church, part of the Moody Church, then the Moody Bible Institute, and he took over as pastor of the church. And he made it his point to go and see everybody. He told one of the deacons who he was going to go see, and he said, that's the wealthiest man in the church and probably all of Chicago. So he goes, he gets the address, and he's stunned because it's less than a middle-class neighborhood. He goes to the guy, and he has good fellowship with him, and before he leaves, he said, I'm sorry, I've just got to ask this. With all your money, how come you're not making better investments? And Tori said the only thing the guy said to him was, I am. Tori found out after the guy died, he was himself supporting like 60 missionaries. He said, I am making a good investment. We live in a society today where you got to have a 4,000 or 5,000 square foot house for you, the dog, and your mom. The house I grew up in, we had three rooms in the house. Dad added a bathroom, so we had four. My parents kept me, or kept, didn't keep me, probably wanted to keep me in the closet, but my bed was in the closet. It was a rollaway bed, and at night, my brother and I, we would get our rollaway bed out, and we'd sleep in the living room. Now, you may not think I'm socially adjustable, but I think I'm somewhat adjusted. When they perished, they helped us a lot financially because they left a nice inheritance for us. My mother always tithed and then some. Always. You see, she could get good answers to prayer. She really could. Not like Micah's mama can. Do you know, Pastor Todd, that my children will call my wife for an answer to prayer before they'll call me? I mean, I want to say that's wrong, but at the same time, glory to God, I've got a wife. Now, I'm saying all that so that you won't feel sorry for me, because I've had a good life. I have things just like you do. But sometimes what we think we have to impress the world, we lose sight of the fact that we ought to be looking to impress Jesus. So again, back to my question. I'm wrapping it up now. Do you want that night? Looking for about 12 of you. You want that night? Well, you're going to have that day to get there.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.